Today on the Lady Boss Podcast, we're going to hear from Martha Nippert of Marnani.com. She is a fashion designer in New York City for lots of years under the tutelage of Michael Kors. She had an amazing career, and then she launched her own company, which is original artwork and decor. I think you're going to find her story really fascinating. Martha, thanks so much for being here. Really a big treat.
Oh, thank you for having me, Courtney. I'm so thrilled to be here and to be an inaugural guest for the Lady Boss Podcast.
All right. Well, you had a very successful and probably cushy position in New York City early on in your career as a designer. Would you talk to me about just a snippet on that and then really what made you and gave you the leap to go off and create this online brand?
Yeah, thank you. So I have always been a creative person. I've loved, painting and drawing as long as I can remember. And it wasn't really until I left my undergraduate university, Wake Forest, where I decided that art really needed to be at the foreground of my professional career. And I went to Parsons School of Design, where I, love studying fashion in New York City. I know you love fashion too. And it was such a dream. I was then picked up by Michael Kors, where I was an intern and very fortunate took on a role as designer there in working in New York City for a design team. So I loved working there. It was a tremendous education. I was not only a designer, but I also worked with buyers. I would order the fabric. I would pick the trim. I was kind of doing everything there. So it was, a great education and foundation for what I wanted to do, but I was also illustrating during nights and weekends. And it allowed me to realize that I missed that creative side of things. So I missed creating with my hands. And enough clients kept asking me to create original artwork for them that I then decided, maybe there's something to this. And I realized I could do it full time. So I decided to take the leap. And, my husband encouraged me to do that. My family encouraged me to do that. And I also loved the flexibility of being able to kind of work from anywhere, so not just New York City.
And how many years has it been that your company's been online and on business?
Yeah, so I left to go full-time in 2015. And since then, I've grown from doing just illustration work, freelance for different corporate clients, to creating my own collection of apparel, houseware, stationery, all different kinds of things.
All right, we're going to unpack that. But I just want to go back to for me personally, it was really hard to leave my first really big job, like you're talking about at Michael Kors, where, I literally had someone to make my copies and get my coffee and make my travel. And I worked hard and all that, but it was a pretty cushy senior job. And when I think the part nobody understands about entrepreneurship, when you start a company, there's no coffee girl.
Yes.
was it hard for you to transition from clearly exciting big role, and not saying there wasn't little detail work to do, but in such a big structured company to go off on your own?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, I like to think that I'm not really beyond anything. I'm happy to do the grunt work, but what I missed the most was actually, I'll call it the water cooler talk. So I missed, kind of developing these friendships or these relationships with coworkers. And I was really surprised that I missed that because I was just by myself working in my apartment. My husband actually worked from home at the time too in our, 1,500 square foot apartment in New York City. And, it definitely took a leap of faith. And ultimately, I would love to have my own team one day when I do continue to scale my business. But I think that for now, it made sense for me to be on my own, to be focused on my art.
Well, you have the benefit. I think water talk, why people say at companies is the friendships. And so you probably were part and parcel to that as well at Michael Kors. It's interesting, though. I think, you started close to the pandemic. We'll get to that and kind of how your pivot. I wonder if the real work that you do for so many high-end companies, Fortune 500 companies, mm-hmm. you can kind of get that same that people contact by seeing them face to face. Is this a sale you need to make face to face when you're selling original artwork to a Fortune 500 company?
So I know that we've talked before about doing things the old school way, and I'm definitely an old school person. I do really value developing client relationships, and that's how I've gotten most of my business to date, is, you know, continuing working with clients that have been clients for many, many years, but also through referrals. And I do think that that is sort of my version of working in an office or with a collection of people. You know, they might live in a completely different city, but now through Zoom and through, you know, the technology that we have today, I'm able to have these relationships that I think do fill, you know, part of that for me. I certainly miss the friendships that I made in an office setting, but I think that I'm just doing that now in a different way.
So you were kind of out in the forefront of social media. I know that's been a big part of how you grew your business, but how early did you jump in, and really what would you say, mm-hmm. what made you so good at that? Because you really gathered a lot of followers and influence on social media.
Yeah, thank you. So it's kind of funny because I certainly don't consider myself to be an influencer by any means, and I'm not even sure that it's something that I'm fully grasp, because social media is, you know, constantly changing. And again, I know that we've talked about that in the past. That's a landscape that's constantly evolving. But what I've been able to do is develop a following as an early adopter of specifically the platform Instagram. You know, I remember I didn't really know what I was doing at the time, and I decided to put my work out there, because who would not want to be a part of a platform that's basically about beautiful visual images? So as a visual artist, I saw that as a huge opportunity to get my work in front of people that otherwise wouldn't be exposed to. And I just started putting my artwork and my, you know, my artistic journey out there so that people could be aware of it, respond to it. I could get instant feedback. I also love, like, I miss critiques in school and, you know, hearing what people have to say about my work. So there was some of that element as well. And, you know, what social media has done is it's democratized the fine art playing field. So someone in rural America can have more exposure than, say, a fine artist in New York City. And I think that's so powerful that people are able to gain this engagement from their followers. So again, my followers, while they've been very devoted and loyal to me, are not necessarily a large group of people, but you know, it is a collection of what I'll call Martha Artwork fans. And so when I'm able to put my work out there and say, hey, I just created this new painting, or I just partnered with this new brand, and get that instant feedback or that instant sale, you know, it's a really, really powerful tool. So I continue to use mostly Instagram, even though that is, again, a changing platform.
Okay, so you're, you know, a lot of artists, I think, have to sell their work, but you're actually leaning more on marketing. You're really sort of setting it out there, gathering feedback, and positioning yourself to gather new people. How does if you had to break down your business between the things you sell online, all the products that take your artwork and put it on, versus these commissions that you do, what's the split financially?
Yeah, I mean, the split right now really is truly 80-20, 80 being client work. I mean, the client budgets that I get are just, you know, something that I would have never even fathomed as an artist. And it's really nice to be able to get compensated in a really fair way for the work that I do. So I haven't been able to I haven't wanted to get away from that portion of my business, because to your point, it also allows me to have exposure to all these different people that I'm forming relationships with, but then, you know, also to keep me on my toes and work across a variety of industries. So I've worked from obviously fashion brands, but also beauty brands, pharmaceutical brands. I mean, industries that I would have otherwise probably never even, you know, thought about working with.
So what, tell me if, you know, so you think about commissions and they take a lot of time, but as you said, make a lot of money. Not a super scalable model, where the other part of your business, very, very scalable. Yes. Which one appeals to you if you look forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. So forward, absolutely, the scalability of my housewares, my apparel. And, you know, I see this being a lifestyle brand that's rooted in art. I love the idea of bringing joy to the consumer through beautiful products. And I think there's always going to be room for that. I think there's always going to be people that want to fill their homes with beautiful objects. And, you know, ultimately when I'm finished, my focus right now is certainly on my family and being a mom of three young children. So ultimately when they're all in school, my plan is to just kind of go gangbusters, if you will, and scale that to the level that I know it can be. And, you know, right now I, again, use social media to test out the products that I have and get consumer feedback. And I know that I've proven the concept. I know that the need is there, that there's a need in the market for it, just based on the brands that I've worked with and the people that have purchased my products and keep asking for more. So when I'm ready to blow up my business, I think that ratio will change and I'll be doing less and less client work and more work for myself.
Would you ever consider, I'm thinking through, you know, all these big brands that you've worked with, you've done their windows and art commissions. Why don't you pitch them the idea that you become a collaboration with them and at least now have them do the work where they're putting your designs onto their product?
So this is why you're the lady boss, because you, you know, you get it and you know, and I'm so grateful to know you. We haven't known each other very long, but I do love that idea in terms of allowing someone else to kind of create the merchandise and be the manufacturer, so to speak. And I've done that on a very small kind of one-off example. So for example, you know, I did a scarf with Talbots that was sold on a national stage for the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and it's sold out online and in stores. And that was an amazing thing because all I really did was create this artwork that celebrated being a woman and was colorful and totally me and could have totally been part of my own brand. But instead it was sold at Talbots with my name on it. So again, you know, if someone wanted to create like table linens or housewares, candles, lamps, you know, there's so many different things in our homes that I think could totally be designed by with my artwork.
Well, I think that's a great success story. Do you think, I know you're driven a lot by art. What part of like the financial picture drives you?
Yeah, so I mean, I think I set out to kind of debunk the whole starving artist concept. And I think, and you know, when you say that, when you tell someone that you're an artist, you almost have to prove yourself a little bit more because I think they're like, okay, you're an artist. But in reality, you know, if you know how to merchandise yourself and market yourself, you can make a really good living. And I think that was really motivating to me that I was making real money by merchandising my work, by taking on these client roles and, you know, getting the credibility that not only am I putting my artwork out there on social media, et cetera, but also that, you know, I was being compensated in a really great way for it. So I think the financial independence of that is really motivating to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I had this massive, I really resonate with what you just said about being creative. So I had a massive self-limiting belief early on in my career. Mm-hmm. People would say, oh, you're so creative. And I said, no, I'm not. And you're so creative. And I would just shut it down right away. And I realized what I was really shutting down is I heard creativity equaled no money. Because that starving artist is a thing. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that creativity is really the real secret sauce that makes every business go, and you do a different creative than I do, but I think every day I'm solving problems and my creativity is in solving problems. It really became my secret sauce. So sometimes I think that is so important and you can spread that word to other artists. I think they hear you got to be a starving artist and they don't understand that that's just a self-limiting belief. You know, you can market yourself, merchandise yourself, get a big network and you don't have to be. And the world sure needs more creativity for sure.
I agree. And I honestly, I think that everyone is creative and I think they start out creative. And I think at some point in schools or I don't know where it happens, people are identified as creative kids. I was fortunate enough to be identified as one of those kids. So I was always kind of encouraged to go on that path. But in reality, we all use creativity in different ways. And I think the more that you can do that in your business, whether you're a scientist or a teacher or whatever it may be, you know, it's just going to be one more tool in your arsenal. So yes, creativity I use not only artistically as a painter and an illustrator and a designer, but also in all the roles that I play. So in, you know, growing my business, in being a mom, just living my life, I use creativity constantly.
Yeah, I think it's so good. I don't know, there's something about your artwork that just makes me happy when I look at it. And I think that's a real gift in today's world.
Thank you.
I'd really like to hear about who is the one person that kind of kicked you out of the nest and really said, Martha, you can do this. You can work on your own, which is build a company.
Yeah, I mean, I've had so many cheerleaders throughout my life. Again, I've been really fortunate in that sense. You know, I think my husband played a big role in telling me that I could leave my job at Michael Kors and my cushy job, so to speak, and a job that most people working in fashion would do crazy things to get. But, you know, I think people have just encouraged me, whether that be my family and my friends who have just been devoted, sometimes clients of mine, which have been a really wonderful thing to experience, but also, again, a community of social media followers who have been there since the beginning and been fascinated and invested in my story. You know, I don't take that for granted one bit.
I resonate with that part about your husband. When I went to my husband and told him I was going to leave my big cushy job, he said, "Why would you ever do that?" And I said, "Well, you know, they don't understand. I'm a mom now, and I've got this big role." And he said, "They don't need to understand. You get paid for your aggravation." And it was a real, you know, he was scared. You know, we were young. We had a lot of bills. And I was, at the time, the primary, the bigger earner. Mm-hmm. And he was in MBA school. So I think that, and nobody could have stopped me. I could have been starving and broke, and nobody could have stopped me, because I was more scared of having a regret than I was of failing. Failure never really seemed like something I was scared of.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to die and say I was supposed to be an entrepreneur, but I was making too much money, so I didn't try.
Right.
And so, yeah, good for you. I think it's there's a real need for it, and I think for sure your company has to be out there and growing. I think the collaboration idea is, I mean, that's a great resume builder, great way to really expand your reach, and you got to find the next cooler, hipper Talbots. I mean, Talbots is great, but you've got to go upstream. That's incredible.
For sure. And I've worked across, again, different variety of brands. I worked for luxury brands as well. And, you know, I like that I'm not limited to one space. So, I mean, I've worked for Neiman Marcus. I've worked for Barney's. I've been featured in the New York Times. And, you know, all of that, it just kind of goes in the hat of giving myself more confidence and the ability to know that there is a need for my art. And in a world that's so saturated with artists, especially looking on the platforms like social media, it feels like, is there even room for my voice? Is there room for my work? Of course there is, because, you know, I remember Elizabeth Gilbert in Big Magic talked about how, you know, there aren't really that many new ideas, but there's the opportunity to do the same thing, but do it by you. So again, people, you know, might see work that's similar to my own, but it's still not done by Martha. So I love that idea that there's space for me no matter what. And again, with the collaborations and working with brands that I love and feel like match my values is a great thing.
100%. And we talk a lot on the Lady Boss podcast about taking business models that work and just making them better.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to create an entire new avenue. Some people do, and we'll leave Elon Musk for all of that. But there are lots and lots of ways to make a huge impact, which is what you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations on everything you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
It's really going to be fun to see what's next. And I think you're going to be a household name.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that's the plan. And I'm really excited because I don't think there's any limit in front of me. So. Thank you.
It's the mindset that gets us there.
Yes, absolutely.
This is my favorite part of the Lady Boss podcast. We end every interview with a rapid fire question where each guest gets to give us a little insight into what got them to where they are today. So Martha, let us know, what is your favorite business book?
Yes, I don't know if you can really call it a business book, but I love Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. I just think it totally taught me to think about creativity in a different way.
Oh, I love that. And of all the mentors that you've had over your lifetime, what was the best business advice one of them has given you?
Know your worth and to not be afraid to ask for it.
Oh, great advice. What would you list as your superpower?
So I love to do live illustration events. So I think it's just the ability to create fresh artwork in real time.
Okay, and Martha, finally, would you tell us what would be the one piece of advice you'd give other entrepreneurs on their journey about how to move their business forward?
Yeah, so I think it's just to look forward, to stay focused on your vision, and to not listen to the naysayers.
That's awesome. Thank you for being with us today. It was so much fun to hear your story in more detail. Oh my gosh.